They call it a big win because they say it keeps money from coming in or going into the coffers of the Maduro government, money that they argue is sometimes used to oppress the Venezuelan people.
To me, this is the first step, just the first step.
Here in exile, lawmakers and Venezuelan activists touting the latest action coming from the White House. The president ended the permit that allowed energy giant Chevron to pump and export Venezuelan oil, arguably cutting a financial lifeline to the Nicolas Maduro regime.
This is going to strike the heart of the cash flow of the regime.
In July of last year, Maduro claimed victory in the elections, which critics say were neither fair nor free. And credible evidence shows that his opponent got more votes.
The actions that President Trump took yesterday actually are denying the Venezuelan regime $400 million per day.
But the Trump administration seems to be sending mixed messages on Venezuela.
We got six home.
In an interview with the Epoch Times, the president's special envoy to Venezuela, Richard Grenell, talked about his mission in that country, now shocking the Venezuelan exile community here in South Florida after saying this.
Look, we're very clear-eyed about the Venezuelan government and Maduro, but Donald Trump is somebody who doesn't want to do regime change.
Today, we asked Republican Congressman Carlos Jimenez about Grenell's comments.
I don't know where he got that. I don't believe that he got the authority from the President of the United States to say those things.
All right, that was NBC 6, and this is Sandy Rios. And, you know, we've long discussed Venezuela on this podcast and in the morning show. I find it fascinating. I want to just, we are not going to talk about this today, but, you know, there was a strong evangelical community in Venezuela before 7 million people have actually left because they were living a nightmare in Venezuela. We've talked about it a number of times. Today, though, there's actually some good news, and I was afraid you might have missed it. So we're going to talk about it today, and we'll do that in just a second. But first, you can call us, you know, at Sandy Rios 24/7 at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any social media platform, whatever you like, whether it's a Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or Telegram or True Social, or we're on YouTube sometimes. We don't do video. I know I should do video, but I don't do that yet. We are on there because I've done a number of interviews in my lifetime, and so a lot of those are on there. But you can also listen to the podcast on any podcast platform, whether it's Amazon or Spotify or Apple, or you also can go to our home base, AmericanFamilyRadio.net, or you can go to SandyRios.com, my website, to listen. So it's easy. We try to make it easy for you. Every day we bring you stories, at least we talk about the importance of saving the life of the unborn and of reaching their moms, of persuading them that it's better to keep that baby, because it is better. God's way is always better, even if they don't know that it's about him. Life is life, and it's important, and God takes the taking of life very seriously. So as preborn shows women the images of their babies through this sophisticated ultrasound, they can see their, you know, sometimes their facial features. They can see sometimes if it's a boy or a girl. It is an absolutely miraculous experience. And most women, the majority of women, when they see the baby, they decide to keep it. And so that's why we do what we do. I want to tell you one of the stories. This is Maddie, and she's a real person. Maddie was in a tough situation, and she wasn't even sure who the father of the baby was. But after receiving counseling, prayer, and a free ultrasound at Preborn Network Clinic, everything changed. Maddie discovered that she had twins. She was having twins, and she found the strength she needed to choose life. And then, of course, her sorrow and great burden turned to joy. That's God's way. It isn't condemnation. It's forgiveness. And just like he said to the woman at the well, go and sin no more. Now, don't do this. Don't do this again, because it's not good for you. But now you have a new life. It's a new day. And so let's get a fresh start. That's the way God is. If you would like to help people like Maddie, girls like Maddie, and the stories we've been telling you, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And make your most generous donation. $28 provides one ultrasound. And, of course, any amount is very, very appreciated. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. All right. Well, today we're going to be talking to a former U.S. Army Green Beret who's been working out of South America and has a lot of information and a special interest in what's going on in Venezuela. So we're going to talk to him today on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
President Donald Trump has announced the termination of a U.S. permit allowing Chevron to pump and export Venezuelan oil. This move ends a financial lifeline for Venezuela, which has received around $4 billion throughout the permit. Trump accused President Nicolas Maduro's government of not meeting democratic conditions and not moving fast enough to transfer back deported immigrants. The permit, authorized by the Biden administration in 2022, allowed Chevron to export Venezuelan oil to the U.S. despite economic sanctions. Venezuela's opposition has estimated that the permit accounted for around a quarter of the country's oil production. Chevron has stated it's considering the implications of the announcement, while Venezuela's Vice President Delcy Rodriguez has criticized the move as harmful and inexplicable. For more news and updates, follow us at VOA News.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. For several years, we've been talking about Venezuela on the morning show and then on the podcast. The Venezuelan people have been through such horrendous circumstances. And when last we spoke about them, they have tried and tried to overthrow their dictator, Nicolas Maduro, and before that, Hugo Chavez. And in a recent election, we're going to get into this in just a second. Nicolas Maduro made sure that he won, even though we estimate that he lost by 75%. And the conditions there, you know, no, at least when I last talked about this, they could not get medicine. They were hungry. There was murder on the streets. No law enforcement. Cubans were there, working really against the Venezuelan people, having been hired by Nicolas Maduro to do that. It has been a disaster. Well, President Trump is doing executive orders day after day after day, and there are so many things filling the headlines that this is something you might have missed. And I was actually excited to hear about this, and so I've invited Jordan Goodreau, who is a former U.S. Army Green Beret and a founder of a company called Silver Corps USA, to talk about what President Trump has just done to kind of set things right in Venezuela. Jordan, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Morning, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jordan, you have to talk to me about yourself first. As a U.S. Army Green Beret, when were you serving and where did you go?
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I came in 6 months. I enlisted 6 months before 9/11.
Oh,
and then when
wow.
9/11 kicked off, obviously, then it was, 18 years of GWAT. So that's I served all over, obviously, multiple deployments, Iraq, Afghanistan, different locations in the Middle East, Africa. I've been around the block in that.
Yes. You know. Yeah. And once you do that, you really can't have a small world anymore, can you? You see the whole world and you see how it works together in bits and pieces. And I've traveled a lot, not nothing like what you've done. I've traveled for business and gathering information, but it gives you an idea that all of these pieces fit together, like is happening in Ukraine with Russia and England. And President Trump is kind of giving us a tutorial on that as he does this parade of world leaders in the Oval Office. But today we're going to talk now about Venezuela and South America. And I want to then, before we get to that, talk about Silver Corps. Now, explain to us, can you please, what Silver Corps does? And just give us an idea.
Right. So it's really just it's a company that develops intricate Well, you know, we try to make it, but so we solve intricate problems, geopolitical level, the national strategic. And that's really the heart of the company. And we've been, you know, doing this for, well, it's been 5 years now.
Okay. Well, Jordan, I'm going to borrow from something that was sent to me about you so that people will have a maybe. I'm trying to help them understand because I'm trying to understand. You're the founder of this, and it's described as a private security firm specializing in high-risk operations with extensive experience in unconventional warfare, intelligence, and tactical leadership. So I think the idea is, of course, when you guys see special ops, you can't really talk about what you're doing, but you go into dangerous areas and do dangerous things. And so so most currently, as I understand, maybe I hope I'm not saying something I shouldn't, but you were based out of Colombia. Is that right? Colombia, South America?
We did an operation 4 years ago that was based in out of South America, right? So typically we'll obviously we don't really advertise very much, but like you said, the nature of our operations are largely specialized and intelligence-based for the most part. It's vague. I know. I apologize, but that's
really, I understand. I totally understand. I do understand. We just have to put a little meat on the bones, or people won't know what we're talking about. So, what is your interest in Venezuela then?
Well, you know, I think at the geopolitical level, you said it best, right? So everything is connected, and so when you look at Venezuela, if we are to adhere to the Monroe Doctrine as a country, which obviously under the Biden administration we have not been, Monroe Doctrine basically states that we don't want our enemies in our hemisphere. And so I think over the last 4 years we have failed that. The Trump administration, however, has sort of repicked up that mantle of the Monroe Doctrine and is now taking measures against the current regime in Venezuela, like obviously seizing aircraft, and this latest move, which I think is the strongest move he's made so far, which is essentially turning off the lifeline of an oil contract for Chevron to produce and export oil. So it's just more pressure on the regime.
Yes. Well, I want to get into that in just a minute. I just want to set the table a little bit more. Let's talk about what President Biden did with Venezuela back in 2022. This is what started, at least this particular part of the story we're going to talk about. Can you describe the arrangement he made with Venezuela?
Yeah, so he really took the pressure off Venezuela by easing sanctions and doing trade deals. Obviously, the Chevron deal, he unsanctioned the ability for certain companies to go in and produce from Venezuela using their oil. And so obviously this gave Venezuela a lot of breathing room, which, you know, in turn allowed Nicolas Maduro, the head of the regime there, to not bring about fair and free elections, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's just really, it's so backwards, because it sounded like the Biden regime wanted to help the people of Venezuela. But what they did was empower Maduro with this $4 billion, something like that, out of this deal. And so, you know, it's just like what they did with Iran, Jordan. You know, Iran was really on its knees economically. President Trump and his first administration had really taken care of that. And then the Biden administration comes back in and builds Iran up to the center of terrorism, the largest funder of terrorism in the world. And they did that. They did that. But I don't know if you know, I just was reading, perhaps I'm sure you know this, but President Trump actually started trying to rein Maduro in during his first administration, as I recall. And so because Maduro is so cruel to his people. He's so unbelievably cruel. In fact, maybe you'd want to say a word about that. You've seen a lot of things, Jordan, even if you haven't been stationed in Venezuela, I'm sure because you've been in Colombia close by, they're close. In fact, they think they share a border. How can you describe to us what's going on in Venezuela under his reign, I should say?
Yeah, I think, well, let's To your first question, when we backed up 4 years ago, the White House was fragmented. You know, President Trump was in, but you can't really say the Trump administration because a good half the administration was working to undermine President Trump, for instance. Yes. Gina Haspel's policies in Venezuela were largely ineffective. And when Trump wanted to really ratchet up pressure, the Gina Haspel and other individuals in the State Department was working against him to sort of protect the regime. And we've seen this. We saw that back then. And obviously once Biden gets in, those policies of easement on the regime, just like you said about Iran, were put in place. And so it really gave Maduro a lot of room to maneuver. It was almost like a civil war in the White House. And I know that, that the last decade, that's a little new because these policies are really hurting the United States. Let me go back to the Monroe Doctrine. So when we talk Monroe Doctrine, we don't want our enemies to be able to have white space, which is strategic room to maneuver in our hemisphere. But you saw several months ago, there were Russian submarines that were able to refuel in Venezuela, Cuba. And so this is what we want to deter nations from doing by having a stable Western hemisphere. And this is precisely what the Biden administration was working against. And now that we have President Trump back in, this is what he is working towards, a stable Western hemisphere so that we don't have to worry about our enemies being able to have safe haven in our side of the world.
Well, even the AP was in describing the Biden deal with Venezuela on this. I'll read their words. They say Biden's government for months then resisted calls from Venezuela's opposition and others to rescind the license, whose goal the U.S. initially said under Biden was to support the restoration of democracy. So they made this deal saying they wanted to restore democracy, but then they pumped up and made Maduro rich, which he's in turn, according to the opposition leader there, Maria Machado, what's her name? Maria Corina Machado. She says that he's just used it to hurt the people more. I don't know if you know anything about that. Do you know how he has used, at least we can't be certain about every dollar, but in general, how he's used that $4
billion? Well, I think that, it's tricky. So Venezuela is one of those countries that's very, very difficult to get a read on. And for, looking at this problem for this president, Trump has to now, he has to be incredibly careful who he can trust. So 4 years ago, I'm not going to say he didn't know who to trust in the country. He was not able to trust Juan Guaido, who was the recognized president at the time. He was not able to trust any of the opposition. And so when President Trump looks at the problem set, he is forced to deal with one of two people, Nicolas Maduro, who is the devil that he knows, or Maria Corina Machado, or members of the opposition, who he doesn't really know, and I don't know that he trusts yet. I think he wants to trust these individuals, but because he's been burned in the past, I think it's best to take time out and to go slow, which you see the steps that have been made so far by the Trump administration this time around. Very cautious, very slow, very measured, and I think that's the right approach.
Well, we mentioned the election, but we didn't really go into it, and I have a report from Reuters that kind of lays it out nicely. Because this is all tied in, because I'm going to get to the punchline, which is really what President Trump has just done. I want people, though, to understand why it's so significant. And so let's listen to them as they describe what happened in this last election.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro claimed victory in the country's presidential election. But opposition rival Edmundo González claimed he was the victor and had the polling to prove it.
Buenas noches a todo el pueblo de Venezuela.
The country's electoral authority, or CNE, said Maduro had won a third six-year term with 51% of the vote. The election authority said González won 44%. But opposition leader Maria Corina Machado said González had secured 70% of the vote and that multiple independent exit polls and quick counts decisively showed his victory. Edison Research, known for its polling of U.S. elections, had predicted an exit poll that Gonzalez would win 65% of the vote, while Maduro would win 31%. Local firm MegaAnalysis predicted a 65% vote for Gonzalez and just under 14% for Maduro. The government said that except for some isolated, minor incidents, voting was peaceful. Motorcycle riding ruling party supporters, known as collectives, clashed briefly in the evening with opposition supporters outside the country's largest polling place in central Caracas. Gonzalez called on his supporters to remain peaceful.
All right, so I don't think it's not a stretch for those listening to understand what it's like to have an election stolen. And you heard that report, even other sources, they have the data. Maduro did not win that, and yet he strong-armed it because of his military forces. Jordan, do you know if he's still using Cubans, the Cuban forces, to do horrible things against his own people? Are they still there to enforce his will?
Right. Well, so yeah, largely the Cubans play, more of a role to, instruct and to advise. But they've been doing this for decades, and so the result is you have a system in Venezuela that is very, very efficient under the Maduro regime of imposing its will on the people. And so, the reporter misspoke. They're not called collectives. The individuals who are the street level grunts of the Maduro regime are colectivos, and colectivos are just plainclothes individuals who are essentially running around and exercising the will of Nicolas Maduro. This is perhaps one of his most powerful assets. This is a Cuban style of agent or a group, I guess you would say. So absolutely, the Cuban influence is all over this.
Yeah, it's just sad. Okay, so that election took place in July of 2024. So President Trump wins the election in November. And Jordan, my understanding is that Maduro then, I don't know what the words are, his response. Well, I'll ask you, what was Maduro's response to President Trump getting elected?
Well, I think you see from Nicolas Maduro, he wants to be legitimized by the United States. He was legitimized by the Biden administration, obviously through action, maybe not in word, but certainly in action. And so President Trump has to walk a fine line. He can't legitimize Nicolas Maduro. He has not, and yet he sent Rich Grenell to retrieve certain, political prisoners, hostages, whatever you want to call them. And so it's a fine line. But again, it's really about how does President Trump deal with this geopolitical problem? He has in Nicolas Maduro somebody who's friendly to Russia, China, who, in this, speaking from the Monroe Doctrine, this is a problem for us. And yet he doesn't know that he can trust the Venezuelan opposition because 4 years ago, the Venezuelan opposition essentially betrayed him. So it's tricky for President Trump. And again, it's really just about letting his people do their due diligence. Obviously, the people working under President Trump right now, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, has a handle on the situation. He knows some of these individuals, but it's really about vetting the Venezuelan opposition government.
Well, it was interesting that Rick Grenell, when Rick Grenell was there, I'm sure you know he made some statement about President. In Venezuela, he made this statement that President Trump was not about regime change. And that kind of really upset the Venezuelan expats that live here in this country. Can you give us, what do you think about that statement? And I know that neither of us know whether it is or is not true, but what do you think about that statement? Could that be true, that he's fine with Maduro being in power?
It's a question of if President Trump is able to deal with Nicolas Maduro, make deals, and he's able to mitigate the fact that Maduro has close ties to the Russians and the Chinese, then, like I said, the devil that he knows is better than the devil that he doesn't know in the opposition. Because right now, he doesn't know anybody in the opposition, doesn't trust anybody in the opposition. 4 years ago, he was betrayed by the opposition. So it's a difficult position he's in. I think that he has to play a very close-hold diplomacy with Nicolas Maduro's regime. At the same time, what you're saying is equally as valid. I mean, these people under Maduro are suffering, and something needs to be done. But I think it's one of those situations where it has to be the right timing. It has to be the right person to replace Nicolas Maduro. And there maybe there's a way diplomatically that President Trump can bring about fair and free elections. I think that's the push.
Well, I think, you know, that would be great, wouldn't it, Jordan? But I think you would probably agree with me. I guess, I don't know, we can't be about the business of righting every wrong in every country. We can't do it. That's what the CIA was supposed to be doing all these many years, but it turns out they kind of turned against their own country and were, you know, empowering the bad guys from my perspective. But it's a big ask to have President Trump fix everything everywhere. And if he's not sure about the opposition, then you can understand why that might not be on the table. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, he did do something very significant. And we actually played that short clip. But explain now what he's done in regard to this Biden agreement with Chevron to go into Venezuela. Explain what has just happened with President Trump.
Yeah, so he essentially shut off Chevron's ability to produce and export oil in Venezuela, which obviously, you know, Venezuela was getting a tremendous amount of money for that. So that has really hurt them financially from a macroeconomic standpoint. Now, you said at the beginning of this that everything is really tied in. So geopolitically speaking, everything is tied in. So President Trump, and this is conjecture, but President Trump is making deals, right? He's in Europe making deals with, Vladimir Putin and Russia. And so Russia has a ton of oil. And so if we lose the ability to get oil, if the United States loses the ability to get oil from one country, we still have the ability to get oil from other countries. So for us, the United States is not really going to hurt us all that much, if at all. But it does hurt the Venezuelan economy, which is essentially what we want in the U.S. from a strategy standpoint. It gives Donald Trump the ability to negotiate any other deal, any other subsequent deal. He will be able to negotiate from a position of strength.
Jordan, what is the... This is confusing. And that is American companies... Look, long time ago, American companies actually had a loyalty to America. They had a certain patriotism. I'm not saying they weren't capitalists who wanted to make as much money as possible. They certainly were. But there was a certain loyalty to America, and somehow that horse left the barn quite a long time ago. And it became, no borders, and whatever made money was what was right. I think of that in open trade or whatever we call this, which I was always an enemy of, tell you the truth. We lost a lot of business, and we really did our nation tremendous harm by allowing our companies to just go anywhere and just make the best deals to enrich themselves and actually hurt American manufacturing and jobs and all of it. Okay, so where are we with a company like Chevron doing business with a man like Maduro? I mean, he's not a friend. He's a friend to our enemies. And so what is the law? What's the statute? What's the provision that would say to American companies, you can't do that? Is there something in writing? And what's the guideline?
So, unfortunately, Sandy, this is one of the biggest problems we have in the United States. The Constitution, as it was written by our founding fathers, does not allow for corporation. There is nothing in the Constitution that reins in corporations. And so then, you know, we're forced to create these laws as a society to then, you know, try to claw back corporations that are, I guess, not doing what they're supposed to be doing or working with our enemies. But it's a big problem. If you see a small example of this, what's actually quite a large example, the CIA uses shell companies to do most of their work. And so they've learned this over the decades, that to do what they need to get done to enforce their geopolitical policy, which, again, is not always aligned with the president. Obviously, 4 years ago, none was aligned with the president. It's a big problem. Because now you have companies that are acting as independent agents in the United States government, a lot of times against U.S. interests. But but they're making money, and they're, you know, obviously they're too autonomous, so there's no way to claw them back. This is one of the greatest problems we face. You know, another great example is Edward Snowden. Everything that these companies did to spy on the American public was legal because there was nothing in U.S. law that said they couldn't spy on American people because they were companies, and obviously the NSA was using these companies to get around certain laws that they needed to get around to be able to spy on U.S. companies or U.S. citizens. So it's a huge problem for the American people. And at the end of the day, I think these corporations allow, opportunistic Americans to take advantage of the American people by circumventing the laws that were created to stop that from happening.
One of the worst breaches, and I bet you'll remember this, Jordan, really well, that's when Google would not let the American military, I forgot exactly the term, I'm doing this from memory, but Google would not let our military use Google GPS. And they made some deal with Europe. They gave gave rights to Google GPS for some foreign power. And, we were still fighting in the Middle East. So it was just horrible because Google is an American company, but they, of course, operate internationally. And it reminds me really, Jordan, of this, and that is that the founding fathers wrote very clearly, in fact, not just one, but several wrote the same thing, that the system of government that we have is no good unless people are self-controlled people, and that has to be based on like morality and religion. That's what they said, morality and religion, self-imposed, coming from a personal conviction, personal beliefs. We can't put enough laws on the books to make people, you know, do what's right and not do things that are really morally despicable, like undermining your country in order to make money. That's morally despicable to me. But they are right. This is the price of freedom. We have freedom, and we just have a people that operates in their own interests. And it's not just these big things. But, is there anything else about this that you wanted to share, Jordan, about President Trump's action, or did we actually say what he did? Maybe you should spell that out, since I think we talked in and around it. What did President Trump just do?
Yeah, no, I mean, he pulled the sanction. He essentially pulled the contract to allow Chevron to produce and export oil from Venezuela. And so, obviously, for us, it was cheap oil. However, it was allowing a lifeline to the Maduro regime. But I think the macro of this, I mean, it really just speaks volumes to what his overall strategy is in Venezuela, which is go slow, take your time, put them in a position of weakness so that he can, you know, if he's dealing with Venezuela, he'll be in a more powerful position. And I think that's the overall takeaway. He's more measured this time around because he was burned 4 years ago. And so I think that's really smart in that part of the world.
Yes, and say I think I do too. And it's economic warfare is really what it is. It's not war, but it's warfare, and it's good. And it helps if it's done in the right way. It makes people like Maduro do things that they wouldn't naturally do because they're hamstrung by not having the money. So, well, Jordan, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Jordan Goodreau, again, former U.S. Army Green Beret, founder of Silver Corps USA. It's a pleasure, and thanks for continuing to serve your country, Jordan, in this way.
Thank you, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
And my pleasure. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
God raises up leaders who follow his direction and serve him faithfully.
Reverend Wildman.
The Reverend Donald Wildman.
Those who refuse to compromise his standards.
Things were changing, and many people just sort of acclimated to it, and Don Wildman didn't.
Here in the Christmas season of 1976, I sat down one night to watch television.
I became angry that night. I left the parish ministry and founded the National Federation for Decency.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Well, that's the voice of Don Wildman, my good friend, who I worked with closely in Washington, D.C. Sandy Rios with you in this moment. This movie, Culture Warrior, is now available. It's free, and you can watch it now. It will tell you the story, and you're going to love it. Go to culturewarrior.movie. That's culturewarrior.movie.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
We begin in the United States, where the Trump administration has now deported two flights of illegal migrants to Venezuela. Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro has in fact accepted the deportations after the flights landed in the country late last night. Now, according to ICE officials, the deportees include several criminals and gangsters and members of the dangerous Tren de Aragua cartel.
This is the first action taken there at the El Paso airport in Texas. There, two planes from our flagship airline, powerful Convisa airline, have landed at an airport in the United States of America, have picked up almost 190 compatriots, and they are flying at this hour.
Meanwhile, Venezuela's interior minister confirmed that the deportation flights did in fact have some gang members on it.
95 migrants per flight. That story that all of them have criminal charges is a lie. Very few have them. They are going to go through migration. We'll have a medical checkup. We'll interview them to know how they were treated over there. You heard they left their families behind back there. They were separated. Today, we are trying to reunite them. They love Venezuela. They are happy, and they are going to eat arepas.
All right. I left the last part on there because I wanted you to hear this. Two things. The point of the clip is really that the Venezuelans, Maduro, actually sent planes to get people to remove illegal immigrants with criminal records from the United States. Remember that? That happened a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know, you know, this is before, oh, I'm sorry I'm laughing, but this is before President Trump, rescinded this Chevron permit where the oil, you know, the well is now dried up. Because Maduro was trying to court Trump. He actually, when Trump was elected, he made some statements how happy he was that he'd been elected because I guess he thought, I'm not sure. He wanted to make money. I'm not sure. But so he happily went along with, picking up the criminal illegal immigrants. But now, you know, President Trump has stopped the sweet deal. I think that's kind of cool. And this last part there, you heard the interior minister talk about how these are not criminals. They are not criminals. And they love Venezuela. They love it. And now they get to eat, what, arapos or whatever he said. This is similar to a tape I listened to Nicolas Maduro talking about the 7 million that have left Venezuela and how they all want to come back because they love Venezuela. And they, if they come back, you know they can party. And he said, actually said in this clip, the most important thing in life is to party. So, you know, that's the theme. First of all, the ridiculous thought that that's the most important thing, but these are communists and the lies and the propaganda. You got to hear that with the interior minister just run thick. Can you imagine living in that? And yes, I think you can, because we started down that path ourselves, where we're supposed to believe that fantasy is truth. And if you dare say something else, there's punishment. Now, we didn't get to the point of being killed or put in prison, although that's not really true with the J6ers, because they were being demanded. They demanded, the government demanded that they rescind their belief that the 2020 election had been stolen. And some of them did do that in order to get shorter sentences. But some others refused and spent years in jail and in prison. So we weren't that far from this. And thank God we are free. So that's not the only stories about Venezuela, though. You remember that Tren de Aragua, that gang in Colorado is, you know, taking over apartment buildings. It's just shocking, really, what we have allowed. Now, the other part of this, of course, is that the Venezuelans, as I said in the opening of the show, there are a lot of strong Christians. The church in Venezuela was so strong before Maduro just really started starving the people and allowing crime in the streets and just really making life filled with grief. And so many of them left. But many of them have come here. And I, you know, I don't know what their status. I know that the maybe I can see they have just made a decision, meaning Kristi Noem and the people making the decisions about illegal immigration. There's a status that many Venezuelans received. It was, I think it's temporary status that many, I think several thousands of them are falling under the notion that that's no longer guaranteed. I think that was given by Biden, and I think before that by Obama. And so now they're on uneven turf. They don't know what's going to happen with them. And that's a sad thing for many of them. And yet we have to do this we can't choose some people group and reject other people groups. We have to be very fair about this. But people that are not legal in this country have to leave. And so that includes a lot of probably really good Venezuelans. Who knows? Maybe they'll file for asylum or something. I don't know. But that's kind of the complicated situation, as uncomplicated and as simplified as I know how to make it. And we'll continue to pray for them. But meanwhile, we have a good president. We have a president that's really on a mission, not only to save this country, but really in many ways save the world. It's a big job. I don't know. I do believe that God is working through him. I do believe that. I saw, I don't want to overclaim anything, but I saw a live picture of a worship service in Mar-a-Lago, and he was standing down at the front, and the music was beautiful. It was a song that you would remember, if I could only remember to tell you what it was. But he has the most serene, beautiful look on his face and kind of swaying back and forth. I don't know. I believe he's different, and I do believe God has his hand on him, and I think we need to continue to pray. And meanwhile, also continue to thank God that we have regained our freedoms. Well, before we go, I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan. You can put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Or visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.